It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and it's the second Wednesday of the month, meaning it's time for Mayor Bill Peduto's regular visit to the program. Today, from potholes to public transit to bike lanes, the mayor is sharing his views on transportation in Pittsburgh, and he joins us now in Studio A. Mayor Peduto, thanks for joining us. Good to have you with us on this rainy, perhaps soon to be snowy Wednesday.
Yep, the winter that would not end.
Well, it's still only March.
That's right. It's endless winter, like the Beach Boys' endless summer.
Yeah, well, that could be your next album. You can weigh in and tell us your vision for Pittsburgh transportation as well as questions for the mayor by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Mayor, I know that you are a hockey fan. We were just talking about hockey as we started this segment here, just before we started this segment. This is a great time of year when the Penguins hit the home stretch toward the playoffs. The downside to this time of year is that it is pothole season. We all know how bad the potholes are in this town. How are you addressing the problem?
Well, right now it's almost the Band-Aid approach. I mean, we haven't had a systematic plan in place for a professional management system of our streets since the 80s. And that includes everything from how a street is selected to be paved to the proper maintenance that goes into it after it's paved so that it has a longer life. We just have been doing it sort of willy-nilly for a while now. So what we end up with are streets that sort of die before their time, streets that start to crumble and we're not following the guides. Starting next week, we'll be able to get hot asphalt. We'll be starting to implement the not just the cold patch but the program to heal the street. What we're looking to do, too, is start to implement a new plan, which isn't just filling the hot asphalt into a hole, but actually squaring the hole, cutting it out into a square area, drying the area out, putting the asphalt in, and then sealing it. So you're not just putting in a clump of hot asphalt that will eventually fall apart, but you're actually sealing and bonding it to the street surface itself. That's just one small thing. But right now it is getting by with the system that we have and then making incremental changes to have a new system by next year.
A few days ago, the Post-Gazette ran a story on pothole repair response time. The PG says that it showed big differences between city council districts, with some constituents waiting four times as long as their neighbors across town to get a hole patched. 4 weeks as opposed to 1 week. If that is accurate, and there's no reason to think that it isn't, what are the reasons for this disparity?
Well, I think that the geographic boundaries are kind of skewed. It's not really by council district. It's by division. We have six divisions throughout the city of Pittsburgh. Each of them respond at different rates. One of the things that I'm looking at when I see a report like that are, what are the amount of people we have per mile of street surface? What is the amount of equipment we have per road surface? And then if all things being equal, why is it taking, in some cases, 4 weeks to fill a pothole? Our goal is very simple. We want to have a three-day, 72-hour response in place this year to filling potholes.
Anywhere in the city?
Anywhere in the city. And what we've been doing through our two pothole blitzes is that we've been tracking it. We've actually been taking the data as it's coming in and then tracking to see how soon it takes to get the work done. And what we're finding is very much in line with what the Post-Gazette was reporting. In different areas of the city, it's a much different response. And in some areas, the response is within 24 hours. And in some, the response isn't happening. And that really then requires an accountability directly to the division with which that type of situation occurs.
So other than that, though, it seems as though we don't really know why the response time is so different.
Well, I mean, it's once you create a system of accountability, and it starts all the way at the mayor's office, then to the public works director, and then to the supervisors who are in charge of these divisions, you can start to break down where the failing is. Once you know where the failing is, you can address it of one of two ways. It's either because the equipment isn't there to be able to get the job done, or it's because it's failing because there isn't a system in place that's being properly implemented and led. And in the case of potholes, we have both.
Now, Councilman Dan Gilman, your former chief of staff, was quoted in this same story as saying that it is former Mayor Luke Ravenstahl's fault, that he bears the responsibility for this inequity. And for his part, the mayor's former public works director, Rob Kazurowski, denies any impropriety. What is your take on this?
Well, we removed a couple of senior people that, you know, the idea of potholes and paving is political power. And, you know, the streets that get taken care of first are the ones that reply best in politics. And, you know, we're not looking for who has the.
So this idea that the areas, pardon me for interrupting, but this idea that after the 2009 election, that the areas that supported Mayor Ravenstahl have received a better response is valid?
Actually, it's kind of interesting. The Post-Gazette report sort of refutes Dan's claim, but if you look at the results, Dan's claim is actually spot on. I don't want to get into this argument about it. I can tell you that having worked in city government for 19 years, you know, I'm shocked that there's gambling in Casablanca. I mean, it's the fact that, you know, some people would pave certain streets because who lives on them and not the condition of the street has been systematic of an old machine politic that has run this city for decades. Yeah, I'm not going to just put the blame right at Luke. That's the way the system was. It's also why our streets are falling apart and we don't have enough capital in order to make them better. If we're going to change it, then I can't take advantage of a system that was in place before. I have to strip it down, rebuild it, make it very transparent, show people what street they live on, when the last time it was paved, and when the next time they can expect it to be paved, create a 10-year capital program around it that shows people where their money is going to be going to. And at some level of that, ask people to understand that with this new system in place, it's a system of fairness. And maybe because their neighbor street's being paved this year and theirs isn't, that it's the only way to get the street system back into a working condition.
We're talking with Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto. He's making his monthly visit to our program, Essential Pittsburgh. If you would like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002. We are talking about transportation today. Let's go to Molly in Bloomfield. Molly, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, so I'm a volunteer with Pittsburghers for Public Transit, and we're really excited that we got funding from the state and now can move forward to create new transportation in our city. And I specifically wanted to ask Mayor Peduto about, we have some concerns about how inclusive some of the public transit planning processes have been, whether it's deciding what routes are being restored or what service is expanding or, you know, infrastructure projects like bus rapid transit. I want to ask you about how you think more riders and drivers' voices could be included in those processes.
Sure. And I just want to go back real quick, Molly, too. You know, the funding for public transit in Allegheny County has been at a shortfall for over 10 years. It's been about 12 years now that there's been this battle. The reason that bill got passed was because County Executive Rich Fitzgerald sat in Harrisburg and made sure that every vote that was needed was counted. And I can tell you that some of his policy in order to do that earned him some favor. Some of it was, you know, cost him some political capital. But at the end of the day, we finally got a transportation bill passed, finally. And it is the only reason that we are going to have a transportation system, a public transit system, that we don't have to talk this September of what routes we're going to cut and how much their fares are going to go up. The Auditor General is coming out with his report very soon. Under the system, if that had not happened, we would be cutting severely into the Port Authority's routes, and we would be raising rates significantly. So I got to give a shout out to Rich Fitzgerald because he really did what no other county executive had done. He didn't leave until he got the votes, and he didn't take no for an answer. The public participation part of it is a critical part. There's no doubt. It's a part of any type of economic development, any type of neighborhood development, anytime you're making changes occur within it. But what we have right now is a system that hasn't really been changed. I'm talking about bus route system. since the 1950s. In fact, if you look at downtown Pittsburgh and you were to get a map of all the routes that run, and I've done this, and you get it in color code, you would find a system that nobody would create. It is so – there is no comprehensive look at it. There are routes that were changed because of transportation projects that occurred in the 1980s that have never been changed back. And there is no way that any of the bus routes run from one end of town to the other to give people access all throughout. So when we start looking at things like a circulator system, an ability that every other city has, they call it the bus loop, the circulator, the whatever it is. It's a name. It's used throughout Europe. It's an idea that needs to come forward first through leadership, whether that's the county exec who runs the system or a mayor who determines the locations on public right-of-ways, and then go through a community process and say, what's the best way to do this if we're going to look at it? But the conversations should start both from a level of grassroots support and then also from a top-down approach that goes back to the community before final decisions are being made. The BRT system, being a council member who's represented Oakland for 12 years and a staff member for 7 years, I can tell you has been discussed for a decade at the community level. All the community groups have been a part of this discussion. There has already been feasibility studies done that looked at light rail, subway, BRT, and there was a fourth as well, and I just can't think of what it was. Trolley. And basically looked at all four different systems and the cost estimate of each and the ability to actually do it and not just study it and again for another 20 years. The BRT was the system that became the most feasible on an economic standpoint. But even at this point, it needs to go back to the community to determine if we're going to go through that system, what type of route that should take. Should it be on Fifth Avenue? Should it be on Fifth and Forbes? Should it be a combination, or should we not even do it? The reason, and this is really, really important, people always say to me, we need a subway system throughout this, or we should build a light rail system. We don't have a local match. And this is what people have to understand. The reason that you go to other cities and you see these things is because there's a dedicated source of revenue, whether it's through a sales tax, or it's through sin taxes like tobacco and alcohol, or it's part of a property tax or a wage tax. There is an amount of money that is dedicated strictly to the build-out of transit systems.
So when you're talking about something like an ultra-modern light rail system, that's how it's funded?
It's the only way that it is funded, because then you have the ability to leverage federal dollars. And federal dollars are only used for matches. So as Salt Lake City looks to expand their system in Portland, Oregon, in all these cities around the country, they all compete on an annual basis to get federal funds. Pittsburgh in Allegheny County says, no, thank you. We don't have a match to be able to go over the federal dollars to be able to get them. Until we decide as a region that we are going to raise our own taxes and tax ourselves in order to have an amount set aside, we will never see a light rail system expansion. We will never see a subway or a light rail to Oakland. There aren't even options that we can consider because we don't have the money to go after the federal funds. And the federal funds don't fund projects 100%. They only fund it up to a certain percent. And at this day and age, there is no wham money going back. There are no earmarks coming out of Congress to build systems solely on the amount of federal funds that you're able to get. So the conversation has to begin not in how we can build this entire light rail system throughout Allegheny County. It has to begin on how we're going to raise our local revenue, what taxes are we going to decide on ourselves, and then putting that up on a referendum with a vision of where we need to go.
And clearly, you must be getting the message. I mean, people vote with their feet, and ridership on the T is up. There are new numbers out showing that that light rail ridership in Pittsburgh is way up. Bus ridership is down. And we have this tweet from Daniel who says, young people want cities with functioning mass transit. The current bus situation is easily a major reason why graduates move away. He goes on to write, he's curious to know the progress of your reforms to Port Authority and the transit problems of the city. I think you've addressed some of that. But one of the other tweets that we have received is Joe on Twitter advocating for expansion of the T. He writes, build the T everywhere. Pittsburgh deserves modern transportation. The time is now. So
I agree. So this is the thing. And this is, you know, if I had a legacy, I told Rich this, Fitzgerald, I said, you know, you want people to build a statue for you. You take care of three things. You create a green way to address the combined sewer overflow problem that puts Pittsburgh on the map as being innovative. You make our airport a hub once again for flights throughout the country and internationally. And you build out a light rail system that goes north, south, east, west with a feeder system of buses that creates a world-class light rail system. I said, they'll build a statue for you. You take care of those, just those three things. Again, Joe, this is the problem. Without a local match. And you can't say, well, just use the taxes we have. That's not an option. What you need is a dedicated fiduciary account, an amount of money that is raised and used specifically for one purpose. Hey, wasn't the drink tax supposed to do that? No. The drink tax goes into the general obligation budget of the county. It doesn't go to a specific account that can only be used for this one purpose. You create a specific account and you say, as a region, we are going to raise property taxes, blank mills. And with that money, it is going to go into building this system, north up to Cranberry, south out to South Hills Village, west out to the airport, east out to Monroeville. And it's going to cost this amount of money and this amount of years to build it.
What about the timetable? What do you see as
The last part of this, do you vote yes or no? And you have a referendum on the table. That's how other cities have done it.
Right.
That is the model. We don't have that.
We don't do that here.
So it's like saying to your parents that don't have a job, I want a Mercedes-Benz this Christmas. Why can't I have a Mercedes-Benz this Christmas? Well, we don't have income. Well, if I'm going to be able to really succeed, I need a – you know, you can't have the light rail system when you don't have the money to pay for it to get the federal match dollars in the state in order to create it. So the first thing is we have to decide as a region, is this our priority? Is this the priority for 21st century Pittsburgh and Allegheny County to have a light rail system? I can tell you this. When I talk to people, they say it is. And they say this is what
they want. What we're hearing today is that it is. And I'm sure you saw the numbers from the study that was on front pages yesterday showing how many more people want to use light rail. And clearly they are less interested in the buses for reasons that you've outlined earlier. Let's go to Helen in East Liberty who wants to join the conversation. Helen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Mayor Bill Peduto.
Hello, Mayor Bill.
Hello, Helen.
So I was so impressed by some of the creative funding you suggested during your campaign, part of your policy papers, including TRID reinvestment, using taxes to reinvest in transit development. One of the big concerns over here in East Liberty is small businesses and residents who are worried they're going to get displaced because of rising property values. I wondered if suggested solutions like inclusionary zoning or other ways of making sure that those people are protected are on agenda.
Yeah. So in TRID, just so folks understand, it's using the tax revenue that is generated as a benefit of having transportation. Transportation development occurs. It's transit-oriented development is a natural occurrence that happens when you build the system. Businesses and housing and other options build around it. It just happens worldwide. And you use those funds that come out of it in order to be able to build the system itself. We're doing that in East Liberty. We're even including parts of the new Bakery Square and using that revenue to help to build a new multimodal transit station in East Liberty and making parts of the new development to benefit the whole community. The best cure to gentrification is ownership. And the best way to ownership is to create programs, not only through home ownership, but also small business ownership, so that people have a stake within the area. There are different options on a local level to be able to raise funds for transportation, like TRID, like Lyftia, which is a new which is a new program that basically is like a TIF, but it can be utilized in for more than just the specific project. But they're not enough. I mean, and then when you start to piece together those and other federal grant programs that are there. It's like being hit by lightning 16 times and assuming that can happen. It's just not reality in the world. Washington keeps count, and they know that if one city gets this grant, they're not going to get the other four with it. What we need to do is have that dedicated source of revenue. As East Liberty changes, the opportunities that we need to create are better opportunities for home ownership. And as we look at areas like Broad Street and others, opportunities for small businesses, not just to rent, but to own.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. We are enjoying our monthly visit from Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto, who's taking your questions at 412-246-2002 on transportation. We have an email question from Ron, who said, please consider asking the mayor today if he's reconsidered his position on removing Port Authority stops in the heart of downtown Pittsburgh. When the mayor and county executive Fitzgerald first proposed this idea back in October, there was significant pushback on it. Under the proposal, all Port Authority routes would be rerouted to the edge of downtown. The Post-Gazette estimates that up to 42 bus stops could be eliminated. Mayor, what's your response?
Well, that report was completely wrong. There was one conversation that we had, and there's a request to look at this. This has been studied for about 5 years, but there really isn't anything there to be able to take back to the community and say, what do you think? So we want to be able to put something together. Under the present system, there is less accessibility for people than would be under a circulator system. When you take a bus in from the South Hills, it doesn't run around the city and drive you all over the city and give you access to the entire city. When you come in from the East End, it doesn't take you all throughout the city. Average is about 6 to 8 blocks that you could be left, and in some cases, 12 to 14. If you create a circulator system, you would have every bus within 3 to 4 blocks of anywhere downtown. It doesn't push it off to the edges. There was never a proposal that it wouldn't come downtown. That wasn't even in the article. People then said that afterwards. The idea is that we need to create a complete streets model in downtown. We have a chaotic system for cars and buses and pedestrians and bikes. We were just able to become one of 6 cities to get a grant on a national scale to create dedicated bike lane, and we're looking at doing it in downtown Pittsburgh so that we actually can create an east-west route so cyclists don't have to play dodgeball with buses and cars. We don't have curb cuts. We're missing countdowns at signals. It's an archaic system, and simply to say keep it that way, don't change it, without studying it and looking at it and using data to drive decision-making instead of emotion, just is not a logical approach. So what we want to look at is a circulator system, again, creating better and more accessibility for anyone who takes public transit, incorporate bike enhancements, pedestrian enhancements for not only pedestrians but pedestrians with disabilities, and then do it as a complete street model for downtown, making downtown Pittsburgh one of the most accessible areas in America.
Let's talk about –
just real quick.
Sure.
For somebody to then say you're trying to take out buses or you're trying to limit the ability for people to get public transit is not only really far from the truth, but it's a disservice to a communication that needs to be decided more by data and looking at it than just – the present system works for me. Don't change it.
Well, I think where people get that impression, and again, I'll go back to a story that was on our website at WESA.FM in October, last October, October 4th, 2013, in which the county executive, Rich Fitzgerald, is quoted as saying, taking buses off of certain streets away from certain corners will alleviate some of that congestion that you're talking about, some of that traffic, some of the blockage of walking on the sidewalks. Bus service and rail service is not meant to be door-to-door service. It's really meant to be as reliable and fast, as efficient, and as efficient as it can be, end quote. So I think from that, there was confusion.
I can understand that. I would say in the same tone that, you know, right-hand turns help to create a better system as well. I mean, and creating just opportunity to lessen gridlock. And that makes streets safer for people who are walking. I mean, if you look at complete street models, and I ask people just to Google it or go to Smart Growth America and look up the way that modern cities operate, We are so far behind in downtown and even in Oakland, and we need to do a lot better. I spent almost 20 years working to improve transit options in Oakland, working to make the streets safer. We moved lights so that the pedestrian areas would have lights. We used tape instead of using reflective tape instead of using spray paint. We created bump outs so that there were easier ways for people not to have to walk in between cars. We created dedicated bike lanes by Carnegie Mellon. We did all of these things, and we made the environment safer. We made it more accessible, and we had traffic flow better. All of that. And that's the same thing I want to do downtown.
We are running out of time, so I want to do you mentioned the funding and technical support to create 5 miles of protected bike lines, bike lanes. Pittsburgh is one of six cities in the country to get that, and we have some people tweeting about it. Joshua says, I hope transportation projects like protected bike lanes and BRT use and BRT use transit-oriented design. Transit surrounded by wrong land use can fail. And Dave on Twitter adds, add a bike lane in the busways from downtown out to the new station at East Liberty. Quicker commute and safer.
First one, agree 100%. And design is a component of making things safe. If you don't use the design at the beginning, it just doesn't work. And the second one, the bike lane on the busway is one of the areas we're looking at with this. But you have to understand that once you get past Neville Street, there is no room for a bike lane. I know everybody keeps saying, you got to take it all the way to East Liberty. But literally, ride on a bus and look. There is not space. There is no lane. You got a wall on one side and then a nothing, not even a curb spot on the other. We can take it from Neville to downtown and then create some cool multimodal options there. But the fact is that if you're going to take it all the way to East Liberty, there just isn't room. I don't know if we could even do so with the Port Authority. I don't know if they'd allow bikes and buses to be in the same lanes on a bus rapid system where they're going 55 miles an hour.
We are over on our time, but we have a lot of people waiting to ask questions. So I will put it to you, Mr. Mayor. You are, as always, a busy man on a tight schedule. Can you stay for a few more minutes, have us take a break, and then we'll come back?
That's fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We will continue with Mayor Bill Peduto, an extended visit with him today. Those of you who are waiting to get in on the conversation, we will get to you shortly. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and it's our monthly visit with Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto. He is staying over for a few more minutes to take questions from callers at 412-246-2002. We have Ramseer in Homestead, who's been waiting an awfully long time to join us. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I wrote to the mayor 2 weeks ago, and I got a ticket number, but I didn't get any response. I'm not so concerned for myself, but if someone else takes the time and writes to me, how does he make sure that he sees incoming email in a timely fashion?
Okay, thanks. Good question. Thank you. How do you make sure that questions from citizens get to your desk and are responded to?
As many as possible I go through on a personal level, but it's like twice a week, and it's just the stack. Right now I've got about 76 unread messages on Facebook, which I just basically am trying to tell folks, I just don't have. There is more email, phone calls, Twitter, Facebook, every different carrier pigeon, whatever, than there is time. So I dedicate a lot to a staff that I have a lot of confidence in. I hire very competent people, and I assume that they'll be taking care of it. With Ramseer's question, in that he has an ID number, I know he went to PGH 311 or that he went and called 311. And what we're doing is I have a person who's in charge of performance and innovation tracking to find when situations like that occur to him, why they're happening.
Let's go to Bill in Banksville. By the way, thank you, Ramseer. Bill in Banksville, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, I'm a strong supporter of the mail, but I'm afraid you may be over-promising on what improved management can do for the Department of Public Works, road, snow removal, and maybe potholes and road maintenance, because city revenues have been falling, and city staffing of that department and other departments has been falling steadily over the years, and I'm not sure if management can totally make up for this.
Okay,
I like your comments on that.
Okay, Bill. What about Bill's concern?
Bill's right. And if we go under the same model that we have, it's just not going to work. So, you know, we're going to have a lot of people retiring on Friday. We offered an early incentive program. A lot of them are coming from middle and upper management. We're not going to fill all those positions. We need more people working in the streets. We need more people working in the divisions. We need more people working in forestry. We need more people that are taking care of it. And here's the thing, Bill, I want you to know. We're not just going to do it on a year-to-year basis. We're putting together 10-year capital plans, determining how much we're going to need to spend each year to take care of our public assets. That's what we're going to work on. And then we're going to sell a lot of our public assets, buildings and others that we don't need to keep, streamline it, and focus in on one of the parts that we can. And it's going to be a part of the new, hopefully, a five-year plan. If we can stay under Act 47, the governor gives us that ability to do so, we're going to have the ability to create a new path for Pittsburgh. And it's how we spend money and how we bring in money. And it will be very different than what we've done in the past.
Last call from Maria in her car. Maria, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Mayor Peduto.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Mayor, my question is whether or not you've considered taxing some of our big billion-dollar-making nonprofits to make up some of this revenue that we desperately need, both for the public transportation as well as some of these other funding needs, instead of the Pittsburgh people who are taxed, I think, quite enough.
Maria, I can't agree with you more. I had a meeting with Mr. Romoff last week, and that was one of the three issues that we discussed. Had some progress on it. It's going to take a little bit more time, but I can tell you that with the big four, and that would be UPMC, Highmark, Allegheny, West Penn, Pitt, and Carnegie Mellon, that those discussions began in earnest all the way back in last May. Let me explain this to you real quick, and I'll make this quick. What Maria is talking about is added revenue, and not the $2 million, $3 million we've been getting a year on two-year deals, but a real source of revenue that would then be able to go to what Bill was talking about, a capital improvement campaign so that we can take care of things in a long term and build out that needed infrastructure. And if those things happen, you're going to start to see what Helen's worried about, because values will go up around the city because more investment will be coming in the city. So we have to create a system that allows people to stay and give them the opportunity to be a part of that success too, not push them out. Everything that everyone's talking about, in the critical component of all of it, is how we connect it all. And that's what transportation is. It's the lifeblood of a region. And we need to have that added source of revenue to be able to do that. If we do these things, you're going to see a city in the 21st century that will rival any in this country. And the thing about it is, yeah, we may be behind a little bit. We may have hit some rough roads back in the 80s and the 90s. But the fact is that we're positioned pretty well. We're positioned pretty well on our finances with our city. We have a lot of infrastructure, not just in building a light rail, but a multimodal system. We have a lot of energy that's going on in revitalizing neighborhoods like East Liberty and Homewood and the Hill. And we have a very strong interest in making sure we're not pushing people out. And we have to have that partnership with our nonprofits that Maria's talking about, because we just can't simply do it our own. The new economy is universities and hospitals. They're the leading part of the economy of Pittsburgh right now. It's not the mills anymore. And we have to make sure that they're paying their fair share in seeing that prosperity happen. That's all the pieces of the puzzle. Every caller today hit it.
And so going back to your earlier point about how do we realize our vision for 21st century mass transportation, that may be the pathway toward it.
It is the pathway toward it. And you know what? The callers hit it.
Mayor Bill Peduto joining us today on Essential Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, Pitt Professor Adriana Helbig provides local perspective on the turmoil in Ukraine. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.